Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It is good to be here in the house of God. You seem so far away. In our little gathering in Sunbury, we're all on one level, brother. But that's okay. As Brother Simon mentioned, I am Marvin Peachy. My wife Martha is not with me today. We have 5 children. 3 of them are here with me today. 1 son is married and lives in Virginia, and a daughter serving at Faith Mission currently as well. So we had a very challenging week last week. We care for my mother-in-law and her daughter. Her adopted daughter lives right next to our house in an apartment connected to our house. And on Wednesday, my mother-in-law fell and broke her femur bone. So on Friday, they did surgery. And then yesterday, she actually came home to our surprise. But that puts a complete new, level of stress on our family, especially my wife. So she's at home today caring for my mother-in-law. So pray for her. If you think about it, God will give her grace in the coming days. Yesterday, we had a house full of guests. We did an outreach for the local widows. And it's always a blessing to do that. And then after we were almost all done, I looked at my phone and saw Brother Simon had messaged me and said he was praying for me for today. And I had no idea I was coming. In fact, I had forgotten. Way back, Brother Amos had texted me and asked me to come, but I had not written it down and had forgot about it. So I'm here this morning in fear and trembling. But God is good. God is faithful. So I want to share what God has given me to share with you this morning. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34 for a text this morning. There's a word in Scripture that is used frequently in the Old Testament, a word that is very meaningful, very powerful, a word that we don't hear much, if at all, today being used in our vocabulary. And that word is consecration. I'd like to speak this morning about consecration or consecrate. Are you a consecrated brotherhood this morning? Am I a consecrated individual today? A people that is separated or set apart for a specific purpose. Consecration. Separating from a common to a sacred use. Another meaning of the word. Dedicating a person or thing for a certain purpose. Consecration. Some synonyms for consecrate are to beautify, to bless, to dedicate, to ordain, to sanctify, to anoint, and to devote. As we read through the first 5 books of the Bible, we often come upon the word consecrate or consecration, where God took individual people, God took certain clothing. God took certain vessels, certain items of the tabernacle, and he consecrated them for a particular purpose. Just for this use and for nothing else. I find that intriguing. I find that convicting in my heart this morning. Look at it this way. So I would suppose most of you sisters have a set of dishes somewhere in your house that you have set apart for just one or just for certain special occasions. You would not appreciate if your husband or your boy would come in and get those dishes and use it to feed your dogs or your cats. No, they are consecrated for special purpose. Something that we have set apart for a certain time only. Let's read Exodus chapter 34, verses 12 through 16. God's words here to Israel. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take their of their daughters, and unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. We'll quit reading there. A commandment to God's people to be separate from the world, to be consecrated to God, to keep themselves pure for their God. In studying for this, I thought about the story of Balaam in Numbers. Another fascinating Bible story. The story of Balaam. Israel, blessed of God, was advancing towards the promised land. And as they did, God gave them peoples, heathen peoples, that they destroyed nations and claimed the lands for them. And as they came to Moab, Balak and his people trembled, for they saw what God was doing for his people. And I cannot make the connection. I don't know where Balak learned about Balaam, but it seems like Balaam was a part of Israel. But Balak called Balaam and asked him to come and curse God's people for him, lest the Moabites would be destroyed. And Balaam, as the men came to Balaam, and that night, Scripture says that God came to Balaam and said, Balaam, who are these men that are at your house? Who are these men with you? Did God not know? Sure he did. But Balaam says they are Balak's men. They have come to ask me to curse Israel. And God said, don't do it. Don't go. So Balaam tells the men the next morning that if you would give me a house full of gold. I cannot go, but and I cannot but speak what God would have me to share. So the men left. But more came back and again asked Balaam to curse Israel. And God said to Balaam, go with them, but say only the things that I put in your mouth. And we know the story, how that as Balaam was going, how that the angel of God came and confronted Balaam and his donkey. Balaam could not see the angel, but his donkey did. Three times. And Balaam had his sunglasses on, brother. He got very upset. And he beat his animal. And his animal started talking, communicating like we are here today to Balaam. But here's the verse that I found fascinating. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, to Balaam, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Thy way is perverse before me. What does that word mean? The word perverse there. It means to turn aside, distort from the right, to be obstinate in wrong, to be contrary, stubborn, unretractable, perverse. Balaam's way was perverse, bent on doing wrong. And Balaam was one of the Israelites, I believe. In 2 Peter, Peter says this about Balaam, that he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Balaam was not a consecrated man. He wanted to serve two kingdoms. He wanted the wages of unrighteousness, but he wanted God as well. I hope that God does not say that of me or of any of us here this morning, that we are perverse. We are obstinate. We are bent on our own way here this morning. Turn over now to Numbers chapter 25. A few verses here. Numbers chapter 25, verses 1, 2, and 3. Here is now after Balaam's story. In Numbers chapter 25, verse 1, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. What did we just read in Exodus? God had said, don't do this. Don't do this very thing. And now here we see that it's happening. Verse 3, one of the saddest verses in the Bible. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Israel, a nation that was mighty and blessed of God, joined himself to Moab, to the world. What a sad situation. How does this happen? How does this happen? That we join ourselves to Moab, and God's anger was kindled against Israel. Israel did not forsake God. They did not turn their back on God. They simply joined themselves with the gods of Moab. God brought Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand, the Bible says. God wanted a people that was consecrated to him. God wanted a people that he could lead and be their ruler and bless them and show the nations around them God's goodness. God wanted a consecrated people for himself. God wanted a people that God would be their first love and affection. But Israel joined himself to Moab. In Psalm 78, verse 58, these words, "For they provoked him to anger with their high places, and they moved him to jealousy with their graven images." Can you feel and sense the heart of God there? God was moved to jealousy. Have you ever been jealous? Have you ever had that one person or thing that meant a lot in your life, and something happened that thing was moved or taken away, and your heart burned with jealousy? Have you ever been jealous over something? We read in Exodus that God is a jealous God. God is still a jealous God today. God is a jealous God. He wants all of our affection. He wants all of our heart. He wants us to be a consecrated people for him. He wants our complete consecration. A life that is given over to him. A life that is totally given over to him. A jealous God. God is jealous of your affection this morning. In Exodus chapter 20, God says these words, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God." God is a jealous God this morning. He wants all of our affection. You know, as we heard this morning, we are a very, very blessed. We should be very grateful for what God has done and is doing in our life. But sometimes when we hear something over and over and over again, our hearts become hard. We tend to not value it like we should. But I pray this morning that our ears would hear and that our hearts would understand God's cry this morning, that I am a jealous God. I want your life. I want you to be consecrated to me. I remember as a youth, I loved the Lord with all my heart, such a longing and desire to serve God, just basking in his love and goodness. That was a blessed time. I also remember a time later when my ears did not hear the truth and my heart did not receive instruction, came cold and hard. My affection was not toward God anymore. But praise God, he was merciful and I found repentance. I wonder where you're at this morning. Is your life consecrated to God? Or are you joining yourself with the gods of this world? A consecrated life will bring the blessing of God and the favor of God, something that we long for, something that I believe we all want the blessing and the favor of God upon our life. It comes by consecrating our life to God. I thought of Samson. Samson had taken a vow of consecration. He was not to drink wine. He was not to eat anything unclean. He was not to cut his hair. And as long as he was consecrated to that, God's power and God's blessing was upon his life. But what happened? We know the story again. What happened? When that consecration was removed, he lost the blessing. He lost the favor of God. And he was a miserable person. So this morning, how is it with you? Is your life blessed of God? Is your life a consecrated life where God has all your affection? You know, Israel, like I said, was a nation that God chose to show his mighty power through. Israel, the people of God. But what about us today? God has chosen to work through his people, through the Christians today, to display his power, his might, his majesty to the needy world around us. Are we allowing him to use us to that end? In the New Testament, in the book of James, we find these words. James says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Why does the Lord say those words? Why does God say that? It's because he is a jealous God this morning. He wants all of our affection. He wants our lives to be consecrated to him, to be set apart, to be used for his kingdom, to be used for his majesty. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, calling God's people, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." God's words to us today. Are you partaking of Moab in your life this morning? That's the question that is on my heart. Are you mixing yourself with Moab, with the world today? What happened to Israel when they did that? They became lukewarm. They lost the blessing. Maybe you're here today. Your heart is cold. You're not feeling God's blessings upon your life. Could it be because you have mixed the world in with your devotion to God, if that's at all possible? So the Bible calls us, beloved, this morning to be separate from the world. Not enough just to back up away from the world, but we are called to be separated from the world, to turn from the world and turn to God. Let's turn to John chapter 17 for a few more verses in the New Testament. A call to consecration this morning. John chapter 17. We'll read verses 13 through 18. Jesus' words here to his heavenly Father. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest put them in a wilderness somewhere, away from the world. I pray not that thou shouldest seclude themselves somewhere. But Jesus says here, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so also have I sent them into the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Consecrated, sanctified, set apart. How does that happen in our life? Right here is one key verse, I believe. Sanctify them through thy word. The word of God is a sanctifying word to us this morning. One reason our hearts move in the direction of the world today is because we don't pick up this book and read it enough, I believe. Our hearts are bent to other distractions. We would rather pick up our phone or whatever, read a different magazine. But the Word of God this morning, I'm here to tell you, sanctifies us. And let us allow it to do that as we read it. Let us make it a vital part of our life. Consecrated for God. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus' words, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Once our consecration, once we lose our consecration, our saltiness becomes unattractive to the world. Tasteless, good for nothing, but to be trodden out and to be spewed out of the mouth of God. Lukewarmness. This morning, beloved, we know, we hear it often. Let me remind you that you cannot serve two masters. It's either all for God or then for the world. Where is your heart this morning? As we look out into the world, we can see what fleshly men, what men that are lost, what men that are living in darkness, what men who are carnal, what men who are wicked, what they esteem, things of the world. And these things, beloved, this morning are, I believe, an abomination to God. Pleasure, riches, prosperity, and the list goes on and on. God wants us to be a consecrated, set-apart people for Him that He can use to enlarge His kingdom. So I have a few things here this morning we want to look at. Things that need to happen in my heart before I can be consecrated to God. Number one, I need to be dead to sin. Jesus not only came and gave his life as an offering to take away the penalty of sin in our life, but he came to give us the power to live above sin. Hallelujah. To live victorious over sin. Romans chapter 6 says, what shall we say then to these things? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Am I dead to sin this morning, or do I love the pleasures of Moab? Galatians chapter 2, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then Colossians chapter 3, Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Is my life dead to sin this morning? Number two, do I experience fellowship with Christ's death? Or in other words, dying with Christ. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Do I find myself dying with Christ, crucifying my flesh, crucifying my own desires for the cause of Christ? Do I fellowship with Christ's death? A consecrated life has fellowship with Christ's death. Number three, a consecrated life is resigned in trials. And I think of examples in Scripture. I think of our Lord Jesus Christ, who the night before his betrayal, his crucifixion, the bitter agony that he suffered, the desire to find another way, the sweat that he faced there in that agony in the garden. But he said, not my will, God, but thine be done. Resigned in trials. I don't know what you're facing today, but I know that we all have trials, some more than others. But, you know, Scripture talks much about the hard things of life are given to us for our purification, for our sanctification, for our growing in Christ, our patience. I thought of Job as well. Job says these words after all that happened to him, after his severe difficulty, he says these words, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Resigned in trials. A consecrated life lives in unquestionable obedience. Sometimes I find in my life, when God asks something of me, I want to question God, why? Is it really that way? Does it have to be that way? But a consecrated life lives in unquestionable obedience. Noah, build an ark, Noah. And it had never rained before, but Noah obeyed God without question. How is it with your life this morning as far as obeying Christ, what he asks of you? Another character that is needed for a consecrated life is a wholehearted service to God. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we are to serve God not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So whatever we do, whatever God sets before us, whatever menial task it may be, whatever large thing it might be, let us do it with our whole heart as unto God. That is a requirement for a consecrated life. So I asked the question this morning, how can the doctrine of Balaam come to where we live today? How can a consecrated heart that should be given over to love and service of our Lord Jesus Christ, that heart that God is jealous over, how can that heart begin to join itself with Baal or the gods of this world and therefore cause the blessing and favor of God to be lost? How can that happen in our hearts today? We heard about contentment this morning. Discontentment, I think, opens up the way for many things, including getting our eyes off of our Lord Jesus Christ. So a consecrated heart this morning is a contented heart. A heart that's content in this present world, content in God, content even though the wicked flourish around us, as David says, content even though we have much less than others, content in that we have food and raiment like our brother shared. A consecrated heart is, in the real sense, a contented heart. Is your heart content this morning? You know, in this world, we see that there is much discontentment. Whoever has the most toys wins. The loudest truck, the newest car, or whatever. That's the spirit of the world this morning. That's covetousness. And God says that covetousness is idolatry. Hebrews says about contentment, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a precious promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, God says this morning to those who are content in him. God says, let me be the object of your affection. Let me be your love. Be content in me, and I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In this world that we find ourselves in, there is a great drive for success, for profit, for wealth. Beloved, may I say that is Moab this morning? May I say that is an abomination, and we are not to join ourselves to those drives that we see happening around us, but rather, let's be content with what God gives us and use it for his kingdom. So I ask the question again this morning, where is your heart? Where is my heart? Let's take a good look at our heart this morning. Is my heart a consecrated heart? Or have I moved away? Am I joining myself with the gods of Moab? A contented heart. A consecrated heart is one who redeems the time. One who redeems the time. When God saved you this morning, he had a specific purpose for each of you. Not just to save you, but he has a work for you this morning. How are you finding that in your life? Are you one who redeems the time and allows God's purpose to be fulfilled in your heart? Jesus said, in regards to redeeming the time. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I have a deadline. Jesus knew his time. What about you this morning? We don't know when our last breath will be. Are we redeeming the time? Are we being faithful in where God has called us? Redeeming the time, Ephesians says, because the days are evil. And they certainly are that, are they not? A consecrated heart is a heart that realizes that life is short and I only have a certain amount of time. And what am I doing with that time is the question this morning. I have been amazed at my own heart. I have been amazed at others that I see who claim to be God's children, how that it is so easy at times to find yourself wasting time, not redeeming the time. It is said that the average American spends 7 hours a day in front of a screen, wasting a lot of time. The things of Moab, do they pull us to where we are enthralled by them and we find ourselves wasting time with them? I think of sports, I think of watching games, I think of following teams, I think of spending time on my phone, following others who are wasting time. The list goes on and on. Am I redeeming the time this morning? God is calling us to be redeemers of the time because the days are short. The night cometh when no man can work. If we are truly consecrated to God today, there will be things that we will not do that we used to do because of our devotion to God. You know what that is in your life. I know what that is for me. It's probably very different for us. But there are things that we will not do because of our consecration to God. Time wasters. How can we waste so much time when there is so many needs around us? Is the question that I ponder in my heart. A consecrated heart, moving on, is one that is modest and simple. In the world, in Moab, there's outward beauty, and fashion reigns in the world. But every consecrated heart should be one of simplicity and modesty. A consecrated heart is modest and simple. In Revelation 19, verse 8, it says, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, white and clean. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." A very simple picture of modesty and simplicity. There's also an opposite picture there. It says this in Revelation 17, "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls." That's the world, beloved, this morning, decked out, shiny, bright, colorful, trying to attract those around you. That's Moab. But a consecrated heart is one of modest and simplicity. I think of our music this morning. Let me just touch very briefly on our music. We need a consecrated worship of music today. The Bible calls us to speak to spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And the Bible talks about in Corinthians How can we mix the world and that which is holy? What concord hath Christ with Belial? How can you take the words of Christ and mix it with the words of the music of the world? Beloved, it doesn't fit. It's not a consecrated heart that does that. Blending the unholy with the holy. May our music, may our worship to God come from a heart that is consecrated to Him. God in heaven today is jealous for your affections. He is jealous for your consecrated heart, that your heart would not be joined to the things that are out in there in the world, that they would, and that it would provoke Him to jealousy because of your heart. God's heart is that you and I would be consecrated to Him this morning. So we have a contented heart. We have a heart that is redeeming the time. We have a heart that is simple and modest. And we have a heart that is consecrated in worship to God. That's where God wants us to be this morning. So I ask the question this morning, where is your affection? Where is your heart? You know, the world is, sometimes we think the world is a smorgasbord. We can pick and choose what we want, but it's not that way. We will get the whole package if we join ourselves to Moab. It is said that, Andrew Murray said this quote, God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life that is totally yielded to Him. God is just waiting for individuals that are totally yielded to Him. God is wanting men and women like that. Let us be of those that are consecrated for His service alone. In the early 1800s in England, two sons were born to a family named Taylor. The oldest one set out to make a name for himself by entering Parliament and gaining public prestige. But the younger son chose to give his life to Christ. He later recalled, "Well do I remember, as in unreserved consecration, I put myself, my life, my friends, my all upon the altar. I felt I was in the presence of God, entering into covenant with the Almighty." And with that commitment, Hudson Taylor turned his face toward China and obscurity. As a result of his commitment to Christ, he is known and honored on every continent as a faithful missionary and the founder of the China Inland Mission. However, for the other son, there is no lasting monument. When you look in the encyclopedia to see what the other son has done, you find only these words, the brother of Hudson Taylor. So which one will you be this morning? What offering will I give to the Lord today? He wants it all. Can we stand to pray? And I pray the words of the poet Let's pray.
O God, what offering shall I give to thee, the Lord of earth and skies? My spirit, soul, and flesh receive a holy living sacrifice. Small as it is, 'tis all my store. More shouldst thou have if I had more. Take thou my flesh, thy hallowed shrine, devote it solely to thy will. Here let thy light forever shine. This house still let thy presence fill. O source of life, live, dwell, and move in me till all my life be love. Send down thy likeness from above, and let this my adorning be. Clothe me with wisdom, patience, love, with lowliness and purity. Then gold and pearls more precious far, and brighter than the morning star, Lord, arm me with thy spirit's might, since I am called by thy dear name. In thee let all my thoughts unite. Of all my works be thou the aim. Thy love attend me all my days, and my sole business be thy praise. In Jesus' name, amen.